following message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's word.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, church. It's good to be back with you. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians this morning, Ephesians chapter 5. I was out last week preaching at a conference and thankful for Jeff for standing in my place to preach for me. Thanks for those who prayed for me while I was away. And I shared with those when I came back, when you go somewhere else, you realize how blessed we are and what God has blessed us with here. And I'm thankful for the worship that God has for us. Thankful for the church I got to be a part of. It was a great honor there. I'm thankful for the word that Jeff preached to you. I got to watch most of that. I got interrupted to finish that, but what I was encouraged by was the number of folks who came to me just on their own and told me how encouraging the word was. So thankful, brother, for your word. I'm also encouraged this morning. I don't know if you know that the boxes have increased for our Operation Christmas Child shoe boxes, and I think that we are up to 179 shoe boxes. Oh, we got more over here. I got more over here, so put it on up there. So that includes, as you know, Trent shared the testimony with Domino Sugar. They brought 40, that's 48 from Domino Sugar. So we well exceeded our goal just in and of ourselves. So thank you for your faithfulness to give. And we'll see another testimony video during our offering time. And then as we will dismiss today, we're going to pray over our shoe boxes and ask the Lord just to use those for His good and His glory. I felt led as I was preparing for this week, praying for this Sunday, to go back into Mark, but I felt led that being this week of Thanksgiving to challenge us of what it means for us to be thankful. You know, it's easy for us to just kind of fall into the routine of a Thanksgiving week and go through the motions and go to family and have dinner and, you know, we sit around the table, what are you thankful for, etc. But should thankfulness only be limited to a week? You know, for us as believers, you know, how is it that we could carry out this attitude of thankfulness beyond this holiday that we call Thanksgiving? You know, if you've ever been around people who are unthankful, ungrateful, bitter, angry, it is taxing. It wearies your soul, it wearies your emotions, and you're listening and you're thinking, man, do you not have anything to be thankful for? At the same token, when we say that, I wonder how many times, if we really watched ourselves on a video camera, how much murmuring do we do? How much complaining do we do as believers? You know, I believe that there's different things in our situations, and I know that we all can go through difficulty in our lives that can create different responses. You know, if we go through a tragedy, how is it possible to be thankful in that? If we've lost our job, lost our home, lost retirement, how can we be thankful in that? You get diagnosed with an illness, how can you be thankful in that? Thankfulness, from biblical things that we're going to see today, is not simply relegated only when our lives are going as we've planned them to go. Thankfulness is not a superficial emotion either. And I think that's oftentimes what we get confused by as believers, that we think that to be thankful, that we must be feeling at the top of our peak of emotion, and that's the only way that we can be thankful. We have confused what thankfulness is. What we've confused is the root of thankfulness. And I want to be able to show you in the Word today of what God has called us to do to be thankful, but also how to be thankful. There's a key for us as believers. And some of us may say, well, I'm a thankful person. I'm thankful for what I've got. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my clothes. I'm yada, yada, yada. And the list could go on. But how is it that it could be pervasive in our lives that thankfulness is always on our lips and always on our mind to be thankful? You know, my mom has a saying growing up, when you go through difficulty, either it can make you bitter or it can make you better. I think the same could be said about your thankfulness. Either you can be thankful or you can just be ungrateful. of the things that are in front of you. See, what happens is if you're not thankful, there is no cruise. There is no non-state of emotion. Either you're thankful or you're ungrateful. Either you're thankful or you become bitter. Either you're thankful or you become jealous. Either you're thankful or you become angry. Either you're thankful or you become cynical. And then you become a problem and a cancer to every person who's around you. We as Christians are not called to be a negative impact upon the people around us. We are called, Jesus says, to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And if our lips and our attitude and our mindset is one of unthankfulness and ingratitude, it's a problem in our effect to be what Christ has called us to do. Let's look at the word this morning. We're going to pick up in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to pick up in verse 15. We're simply going to be focusing on just one portion of this paragraph. Several years ago, I preached through the book of Ephesians. Such a rich text. My oil from my fingers is all over this book. It's quite brown as you look at this book of the Bible. It's a rich book, and as I thought through the study, this text just leaped to me because I think it's something that we need to be refreshed by. Even if you were here and we walked through the book of Ephesians, I think it's important to see what the Word says to us about being thankful. But this, most importantly, tells us how to be thankful. Here's the thing. If I was just to say to you today, stop being whiny and being thankful, then that's just behavior modification. How is it that we can get to the root of the issue to go beyond just behavioral stuff and get to the root so that the Lord is helping us to be thankful at all times? Let's read the text in verse 15, Ephesians 5. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's a key. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. Here it is. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I want to give you five truths in this passage of Scripture, and I could camp at each one of these for a long time, but I want to move through this text. And number one, I want you to realize is that living with a thankful attitude is God's will for believers. It's not an option. If you say, well, they just have a happy spirit, and I'm just going to wallow in my muck and mire, and I'm going to have my own pity party, I don't have to be thankful. You have a problem with the Word of God if that's your case. Because I point out to you, look at it again there at verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That becomes the umbrella for everything that follows that particular line. And as he talks about all those things, embedded in all of that is giving thanks at all times for everything. So the will of the Lord is that you and I are to be thankful for everything, at all things. Let me translate the word everything for you from the Greek. Are you ready? It means everything. You want another one? You know what the word thankfulness means in the English from the Greek? It means thankful. Okay. You're Greek scholars. Here's the point. This isn't, we complicate this more than what it is. It's simply the fact, but let's just be honest. If you're this morning struggling in your heart as a believer to be thankful, just be honest with the Lord, because guess what? He already knows what you are in your attitude and your gratefulness or your lack of it or your struggle with it. Stop trying to pretend to be what you're not. Just admit it. So if you're struggling with situations in your life and you know it's God's will for you to be thankful, and I know already some of you are thinking, how's it possible I can be thankful for this particular situation? We're going to get there. But I want you just to see from this morning as we begin, it's God's will for you. So even as we sit here this morning, and if your mouth and your mindset has just been filled with ingratitude and bitterness and anger, already as a believer, you should be saying, Lord, forgive me right now. Don't wait for commitment time. Right now, as the Spirit speaks to your heart, say, God, I have not been obeying your will. Let me show you this again at a different text. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Here in Ephesians, just go to the right in your Bible. just a couple of books over. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want you to see again where it's substantiated, where it is something for us that we should be doing at all times. Now, you may say, you may not, I got to be saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you all the time. That's not his point. It's an attitude of the heart, which is what he's addressing here. Being grateful within our heart for the things within our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's start in verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Those are two great ones right there in and of itself. And then verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God, here's the key, in Christ Jesus for you. Man, that's such a good text because it's saying it's in Christ that's in us to help us to do that. We're going to get there in a moment, but here's the thing. Paul is saying for us that it's his desire for us, that his will for us is that we should be thankful. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 5 because I want you to see in context. Here's what I want you to understand. I'm going to show this to you. If thankfulness is a part of the will of God to be walking in Christ, guess what the opposite of that is? Unthankfulness is outside of the will of God. Thankfulness is equated with walking in the light. Unthankfulness is equated with walking in darkness. Think about this. If Christ has called us to be the light of the world and to walk in the light, and if we're walking in ungratitude and bitterness and sorrow and misery, you're not reflecting the light of Christ to the dark world. You're simply portraying what the dark world already does. Let me show it to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Now some of you may be saying, wait a minute, that has no connection with chapter 5. Let me just say this to you. When Paul wrote this book, he didn't put chapters in the book. And this all connects thematically because his whole point is the way that we're supposed to be walking is what we're talking about doing in Ephesians chapter 5. So get this. If it's the will of God for me to be giving thanks in all things, I have to walk in that because previously I used to not walk that way and I got to leave it behind. Listen, if you've been saved and you're in Christ and God has forgiven you of all things, guess what? Even that old life wants to linger around sometimes. He wants to cling after you and chase after you. And so if it was a bad habit or a pattern of yours, you've got to be making the decision, that's not my life now. Let me show it to you again. Look at verse 22 of chapter 4. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self. So he's telling us, put it off. Put on the new, and you say, well, we're still not talking about thankfulness yet. Well, let me just put it on you. Look at it if you would. Look down at chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasions, that it may give grace to those who hear. If you're ungrateful and you're bitter, guess what? It usually doesn't stay in. You spew bitterness. You're like a water sprinkler on a lawn, and you're getting people at long distance and you're getting people at a short distance, but you're just and everybody in your path is getting the bitterness from your life. You're sorrowful, you're miserable, and everybody else is miserable that's in your path. But this is what Paul is saying. He says, let no talk come out of your mouth this way. But get this, he was talking to believers. So do you know what believers are prone to do? To talk with bitterness and have corruption and be ungrateful and have the wrong attitude. Guess who loves that? The prince of this world. Satan longs for us to be miserable and ungrateful and cynical and bitter, because if then we're not reflecting who Christ has called us to be. Now skip on down. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you along with all malice. So guess what? If you're here this morning and you're sitting here and you're saying, Pastor, you just don't have any idea what I'm going through. I may not know what you're going through, but your circumstances doesn't give you a blank check to wallow in bitterness and ungratefulness. So if you're saying no one understands, maybe someone doesn't understand, but God does. And just because our circumstances may be difficult, it doesn't give us permission to do sinful things. We justify our behavior because we try to give ourselves a reason out to say, well, if my life wasn't this way, I wouldn't be that way. You ever found yourself saying that before? Well, if I had such and such, I wouldn't be ungrateful. Well, if I had this in my life, I'd be thankful. No, you wouldn't, because once you had that, you'd want something else. If we can't be thankful for what we have, what makes us think that we'll be thankful when we get something else? That's the lure of the world, to make us think that I got to get something else. I got to be in a different position. I got to be in a different circumstances. I got to be in a better health. I got to be better economically. And the list goes on and on. And we think, I'm going to be happy then. Paul tells us here, it's the will of God to be thankful in what? In everything. It's the will of God for us. So let's move on. Let me show you this. Number two, how is it possible then? Living with a thankful attitude is to be done by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Look back at Ephesians 5, verse 18. Before Paul lists out in verse 19 and verse 20 the things that are the results of the Spirit, this is what he says. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you notice in verse 19 and verse 20, there are these words that end in an ing. Do you see them? Addressing, singing, making, giving, and verse 21, submitting. Those are participles that are hanging on this verb of being filled with the Spirit. Now, what that means is this. Let me make that simple for you. Being filled with the Spirit is the action. The result of being filled with the Spirit is a person is going to address someone in spiritual song, sing and making melody, giving thanks, and submitting to one another for Christ. Here's the thing. What he's saying is, if you are wanting to be grateful, the key to it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so if you're struggling as a believer to be thankful and to be grateful and to be content and to be satisfied and to be filled with praise instead of being negative and critical and bitter and wallowing in the mire, then you need to do a mirror check this morning to see if you're spending time with God so that He can continually fill you with the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to understand the contrast of what He's saying here. Notice He says, don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. A person who's drunk with wine has no benefit to anyone else. Debauchery means someone who has no idea or has no care that their actions impact other people. That's debauchery. Meaning he's saying, look, this person who's drunk with wine has no benefit to themselves nor beneficial to the body. But if a person is filled with the Spirit, then we are beneficial to other people and to ourselves and to the glory of Christ. But here's the thing, I want you to understand something. Paul is talking to Christians. So what does it mean then to be filled with the Spirit if I already have the Spirit? Let me prove this to you. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. Don't confuse this to say, well, I need to get saved and get the Spirit, because he's already talking to people who have the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14. In him, you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised who? Holy Spirit. So Paul is already saying to these people, look, you have the Spirit in you. Listen to me. Paul is not saying about go get a second experience here. Because listen, when you get saved, he gives you the fullness of God through the Holy Spirit. So if you're here this morning, you've repented, you've placed faith in Christ, he has given you himself. He indwells you. He didn't give you 13% on the day you got saved. He gave you himself. So then what does it mean then if Paul is telling us to go be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, understand something in this passage of Scripture. If you look back there at verse 18, when it says be filled with the Spirit, there is this word that means here, it means that we're to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And technically, what is better here, where it says with the Holy Spirit, the word with is actually better translated by. Look at your text and read it that way. And continually be filled by the Spirit. That means that I already have the Spirit, and he's going to be the one filling me up. So the first thing I want you to see is that the filling of the Spirit is a continual filling that we are to get by the Holy Spirit. But here's the second thing I want you to see. This is done, based upon the tense here of the verb, it's done by God through the Spirit of God in me. So if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God, then the Holy Spirit is the one who lives in me that's going to be the one who enables me to do it. So what does it mean? Being filled with the Spirit is not referring to the personhood of God Himself. If we understand to be filled by the Spirit, it means I'm going to be filled with all of the fullness of God by the Spirit of Christ. Think of it this way. I'm going to explain this to you. If the Spirit is continually filling me with the fullness of who God is, if He is filling me with His characteristics and His being and His goodness, what is God Himself? He's loving, He's good, He's patient, He's gracious, He's praiseworthy, He's thankful. He's not all the negative aspects. So if the Spirit of God is continuing to fill me with all of the fullness of God, if I am being full of God, and I'm to be walking in the light, and unthankfulness is to be walking in darkness, so if I'm being filled up with God, guess what's going out of my life? Hello, church. So if I'm being filled with God and the fullness of Him, then I am less prone and less likely that my mouth and my actions and my attitude is going to be filled with ungratefulness and unthankfulness. Let me show it to you. To be filled. Paul has talked about this a couple of different times. Look back, if you would, just to chapter 3. I want you to see his prayer. Then I want you to see that the Spirit's role is to fill us with the fullness of God. And if he's doing this, then our lips are going and our mind is going to be filled with gratitude. Ephesians chapter 3, notice his prayer for them in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, here's his prayer, that God may grant you to be strengthened with power through his, what? Spirit in your inner being. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, what's his prayer? That they may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be, here it is, filled with the fullness of God. What's the Spirit's job? When we get to Ephesians 5:18, he talks about being filled with the Spirit. He's already defined for us what it is. In Ephesians 3, his prayer is that the Spirit would fill us with the fullness of God. What was his prayer? That we would know the love and the height and the depth and the width of the fullness of God. Here's the definition of all those things. You won't reach the length and the height and the width and the depth and the breadth of God. As you continue to walk in Christ and the Spirit of God continues to grow you in your understanding of him, you're not going to reach the point at age 72 and you're going to say, oh, I've arrived. We will just be scraping the top of all the depths of everything of who he is. And here's the thing. So if I want to be grateful, then I want the Spirit of God to be working in me, to continue to fill me with all the fullness of God, so that I can be able to learn. And so that what's happening is more, think about it this way. The more I'm drawing to Christ, the more I'm walking away from what? From the world, from the darkness, from my previous behaviors. And he's filling me up with all of God. Why? So that I can be grateful. Here's the good news. God wants his praise and his glory. And he's going to do the work in me to help accomplish what he wants me to do. He's not calling us to do something that's on our own. Now look at the text again. I want you to see something that's here. Back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Certainly it's God who's doing it through the Spirit of Christ. But look with me. There is this responsibility for us to do it as well. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled. This is in the imperative tense in the Greek language, which means it's a command and it's something that you and I are responsible to do as well. So if God is the one who's doing it through his Spirit, then I don't sit on my bed and cross my legs and hum, waiting for the Spirit to fill me with the fullness of God. I have some responsibility in my behavior so that the Spirit can be working in me. You're not going to grow by osmosis. You're not going to grow if your bed is 2 inches from your head at nighttime. You're not going to grow if it stays folded up and it's on your dashboard from Monday through Saturday and you pull it out on Sunday and try to make the curls go away to make everybody think that your Bible's doing all right. The only way that we are going to grow is this. The filling of the Spirit happens through the Word of God. Because the Word of God is Spirit-inspired. And so if I want the Spirit to be filling me with the fullness of God, it's not going to come by me reading the top best 10 books that's on New York Times list that's written by Christian authors. Certainly those can be beneficial, but my root and my foundation needs to be rooted in the foundational truth, which is the Word of God. Look at Ephesians 6. Let me prove this to you. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what, church? The Word of God. So if I want God to fill me with the fullness of God, guess what I need to be doing? Get in the book. That's what I need to be doing. So if I'm struggling and I'm not being grateful, what you need to do is you need to stop and spend time. Now listen to me. You can read the Word to check off your list, and that's not going to work. Now certainly the Word can speak to you, but what He's talking about doing is I'm spending time with God. Find that time that's good for you, that you're stopping your day and you're spending time in the Word so the Holy Spirit can be able to speak to me through His Word so that He can convict me. His job is this. First and foremost, His job is to glorify God. So if I'm reading the Word, the Spirit of God is going to convict me. The Spirit of God is going to teach me. The Spirit of God is going to help me. The Spirit of God is going to encourage me. The Spirit of God is going to admonish me. The Spirit of God is going to correct me. And He's going to do all of that through the Word of God. And as He's doing it, He's going to increase my understanding about God. He's going to show me that He's perfect, I'm imperfect. He's going to show me He's gracious when I fail. He's going to show me that He's patient when I'm impatient. He's going to show me that He's gracious. He's going to show me that He's all that I need. So when I look around my circumstances, and when it seems like I'm out of control, I am reminded through the Word of God, the Spirit shows me that He's fully in control. And so where's my thankfulness lying? It's not in Byron's intellect. It's not in Byron's education. It's growing in the greatness and the fullness of God. So I'm thankful. Why? Not because I just spent time in the Word. I'm thankful because God is showing Himself to me and He's revealing Himself to me. He is purifying me. He is sanctifying me so that when I sing that I'm thanking God, it is flowing. It's flowing, church, because I've spent time with the goodness of God. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Spend time with Him. He's in you. He is in you. This is the thing. The Holy Spirit is in us as believers. And the problem is we're not listening to the Spirit of God who's there. But He wants to flow out of us like a free-flowing well that doesn't need a pump to put that water up. And He just wants to be able to give us the truth and show us the fullness of God. Why? Because God wants to reveal Himself to us. And if we will do so, we'll be filled with the fullness of God. Then, what He's telling us to do, to give thanks in all things, comes a little easier. Then it's not simply something the pastor said, I've got to give thanks in all things. I think, guess what I need to do this week? I'll just try to make my attitude a little bit better. Wrong. You're not just being thankful because I'm saying to be thankful. I'm trying to help you to see the root of it. The root of not just being thankful. By the way, He says here, if we're being filled with the Spirit, we'll address one another in spiritual songs and we'll sing and make melody. If you want your worship to be good, it's the same issue. If you're spending time with the Lord and growing in the Spirit of God, when we come in here and we sing, you won't be saying, how many more songs do we have to do? Oh, we got one more. Great. Let's sing it so we can get to the preaching. Your desire is to make melody to the Lord because you're thankful for what He's been showing you all week. Worship doesn't start at 10:30. Worship is all the time. And so I'm just showing you one aspect of being filled with the Spirit of God, to be giving thanks in all things. So practically, if you're wanting for Him to fill you with the fullness of God, submit yourself to the Lord and sit before Him with His Word, because the Lord speaks through us, through the Spirit, through His Word. It's there. It's there where He will challenge you and to grow you. Let me show you the third truth I want you to see from this passage of Scripture. I've kind of hinted to it already. Is that living with a thankful attitude certainly is God's will. It certainly should be done through the Spirit of God, but it's something that we should be doing all the time. Look at the text again there. We've addressed this already, but there in verse 20, He tells us giving thanks always, always. Say it with me. What? always. So it's God's will for us to be doing it all the time. You know, sometimes we get in a bad habit of just complaining about everything. Minuscule stuff. Minuscule things. When in the perspective of the entire world, the universe is still going to spin whether that happens or not. I can't believe I got to the traffic light and it turned red. Oh my goodness, my day is wrecked. You laugh because you've done that. I mean, we get so upset about everything, we want to complain about the smallest little things. Paul is telling us that we're to be giving thankfulness at all the time. You know what that means then? That means from the time I rise to the time I sit, my life should be filled with thankfulness. It's just to be honest though, it's tough when your day has a hurdle in it that you weren't expecting. Or in your week. Or how about in your life? When something just gets thrown your way that you weren't expecting and you think, well, Lord, that wasn't my plan. It wasn't my plan. I admit to you, sometimes, you know, I have things that I want to accomplish in that particular day, that particular week, that particular month, and there sometimes are roadblocks that just don't make that happen. And it's easy to get frustrated in those moments. But here's the thing. If I am spending time with the Lord when I want to be frustrated, do you know who's right there to correct me? The Spirit of God. When I want to begin to complain and murmur about that particular situation, it's the Spirit of God who's reminding me, not just to not be ungrateful, but reminding me that He's in control of my day. The breath that I breathe isn't for me to control anyways. The muscles that make my lungs function and my heart to beat is not at my command. It is at the command of Almighty God. And it's frustrating sometimes not to get to do the things that you want to do. And you put your head on your pillow like, man, I wanted to get that done. But when you realize it, though, the Spirit of God is reminding you. And then you realize if that hadn't have happened, if that hurdle hadn't have happened, there could have been tragedy without the hurdle. So the attitude, again, it goes back to if I'm spending time with the Lord, even those moments when He's saying to be thankful for all times, and my attitude is to be continually turning towards the Lord, it's rooted again in my time with the Lord. Let me show you the second thing I want to spend a little bit more time with is this. Looking back at verse 20 of Ephesians 5, giving thanks always and for what? Everything. How many are thankful when you get a pay raise? If you didn't raise your hand, something's wrong with you. How many are thankful to have a good vacation? How many is thankful to have good time with your family? How many is thankful just to have some time to rest? Those of you who have little kids, how many is thankful for an all-night sleep? Give me a hand, amen. Whew. I'm glad those infant days are done. Small things that we find that we're thankful for, but how many of us are thankful when you get a pink slip? How many are thankful when you sit with a doctor and they say you have cancer? And you're thankful when you realize that your family member has just passed. And you're thankful when you realize that the health of your spouse is not as good as you had hoped it would be in the end of your life. Thankfulness becomes a little harder, doesn't it? But Paul says to be giving thanks for everything. You know, I don't find any exception clauses in Paul's words, do you? And here's the reality. It all goes back to being filled with the Spirit of God. You say, Pastor, how is it possible that I could be thankful in all those situations? Here's the thing. We're not necessarily thankful for the tragedy. We're thankful in those moments that God is sovereign. That's the root of our thankfulness. So when I'm struggling in difficulty, maybe things didn't go the way that my life had wanted it to be, and I get diagnosed with something that's difficult, or I've lost my job and I've got to move out of my home, and things are just get thrown in a whirlwind, the thankfulness gets rooted back because I've studied the Word and I realize that God is the one who's in control. I realize if I've been studying the Word that a man like Job had everything taken away from him, we went through tragedy, but God still took care of him. I'm reminded of Matthew 6, where it tells us that even God is going to take care of the sparrow. He's going to take care of the lily of the field. I'm thankful that He's going to provide for my needs. I'm thankful that if I look at my pantry and it looks empty, I'm thankful that I trust to know that God's going to provide for me. Even if it's rice and it's bread, I'm thankful in all those circumstances. If I look at my checking account, it looks like every bit of my money is about to be going away, and I'm waiting for a job, and I'm thinking, Lord, are you going to come through? And when it looks like there's nothing else left, and then a phone call comes and I get a job, I'm thankful. And even if something seems to be tragic, you can be thankful that you've got a church family that's going to walk with you, that's going to walk with you, that's going to support you, that's going to hold your hand and hold you up. Listen, this is what it means giving thanks in everything. That you realize that I'm not necessarily praising God. Oh, God, thank you that my car broke down. Tell you something, my fuel pump went out a couple weeks. I wasn't thankful for that. Because then what came across my mind is, I got a fuel pump, I got to pay for that, I got to take off the bed off my truck, I got to take time off, and Lord have mercy, why am I going to be thankful for those things? But you know what? It broke down in my driveway. I was thankful. Do you know why? I didn't have to pay for a wrecker. There's ways to give praise to Almighty God. And when I need to take the bed off my truck, I had four guys from the church came by to help me lift that thing off, take it off. I was thankful. When I put that key in the ignition and cranked it, I was thankful. This is what I'm saying, is that God is able to help us to be able to have our attitudes turned towards God. And this past Friday, we had quite a scare. For some of you who don't know, my son Matthew and I and my kids were here at the church. And we were getting some things ready for Thanksgiving. And he and I were scuffling, as we quite often do here in the hallway. And as we were doing that, I fell on top of him, and he hit his head on the tile. As a parent, you know when it's a small bump versus when it's something that's pretty bad. His head had a huge thump, and immediately he grimaced, his eyes got big, and I knew it wasn't going to be good. Put ice on his head, watched him for a while. We had haircuts that afternoon, and Liz was in Covington, and I called her, and I told her what happened. I said, I'm not sure he's doing so good. We went to the hair place, and in just a few minutes, Matthew began to vomit, and I knew that there was a problem. Liz picked him up, took him to the ER. And you understand something? As all this is going on, I'm studying this passage of Scripture this week. And so I'm praying, okay, Lord, is this happening to make me be challenged with this passage of Scripture? So I'm praying, Lord, okay, how can I be thankful in this? It took me a little while. I wasn't complaining. Of course, I felt some guilt because I was a part of that. But then I realized there were some things to be thankful for. He had a concussion, watched him for a while, but I'm thankful there was no major damage. I'm thankful he passed a neurological test. I'm thankful that I had medical friends that I could call and ask some questions with. I'm thankful that we were just a few minutes from the ER when we needed to be there. I'm thankful that when we got to the ER, he was able to go in. They saw him immediately. Thankful in all things. I'm thankful that it made me realize how precious it is to have my children and not to take that for granted. So, was I thankful for the tragedy? I was thankful that God was in control of all that time. And I'm thankful for what He taught me, because in those moments, I wasn't leaning upon Byron Brown. I was leaning upon Almighty God. Because as soon as that happened, I put my hand on his head and prayed, in the strong name of Jesus, may you bring healing to my son. So I'm not saying this stuff to you just hypothetic. It's tough sometimes to be thankful in all things and in everything. But I am saying this to you. If we have the Spirit of God in us and we are listening to the Spirit of God, the things that may seem so bleak to the world seem hopeful to us because of God, who is in control. One last thing I want you to realize this passage of Scripture, our thankfulness is to be directed to one person. Look at the text. Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can give thanks that someone else was there to help you, but I'm going to tell you that God was the one who helped that come about. You can say, I'm thankful because I worked hard and I did all. I put a bunch of applications in and I got my job. And I'm going to say to you, God is the one who made that possible. You can say, because I ate well and I did healthy, my cancer is gone. I'm going to say to you, you give thanks because God's the one who made it possible. This is his point. There is only one person who's worthy of praise and thanks from your lips. God Almighty. Because he is the King of glory. And he is the one who is strong and mighty. I'm telling you, church, we have a reason to be thankful. Not just this week of Thanksgiving, but for all times and for everything. So this morning, I don't know where you are, but I can tell you that if you will spend time with Almighty God, he will empower you, he will work in you, and your attitude can begin to change to praiseworthiness and thankfulness. And you may be here this morning, you're saying you don't even know Christ, and you're saying, why is it that you would look at these tragic things and give thanks to God? Listen, I can tell you this. Until you have Christ, you just can't understand. But with the Spirit of God, all things are seen in perspective of a sovereign hand of God to give Him thanks. So what's going on in your life right now that maybe you've been looking at the negative side of it rather than seeing that God is in control and thanking Him in advance that he's going to take care of what you can't even see the conclusion of right now. That's being thankful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for my own personal reminder this week that I have much to be thankful for and that you are a God who is in control. Father, you give us clear instructions in this text of how we can be thankful people, and that is to be filled with the Spirit and filled by the Spirit. So Lord, I pray for believers this morning who are in this room and whose tendency is to be cynical, ungrateful, bitter or angry. That today that they would realize from this text that those actions are sinful. God, may you give grace to them that they would recognize that, confess it, and repent of that. Lord, we are all guilty in this room of not being thankful enough, or oftentimes taking credit for the things that have gone well rather than giving thanks to the God who has brought them about. But at the root of all that, Lord, you know every person that's sitting in these chairs this morning. If we are spending time with you so that you can fill us by the Spirit of God and fill us with your word. So Lord, I pray that today that if there are things that we need to change or do so that we can be able to have genuine time with you, so that your word can work in us, sanctify us, and change us for your good and your glory. But Father, I want to pray though and ask you that if there are some in this room who are going through very great difficulties and they're having a hard time being thankful, Lord, I just simply ask by the supernatural power that comes from you that you would begin to move upon their situation and claim the truth of your word that says, he whose mind is stayed upon you is in perfect peace. And so, God, I pray that if they're concerned about a family member, a sickness, a financial situation, a relational situation, that they would rest in the fact that you are God. And they can be thankful that you're in control. And even if things go haywire and not the way that we want it, we can still be thankful and rest that you had a better picture and a better plan. God, your people here need you. You are the rock that we hold to. Lord, let our lips be filled with thanks so that the dark world that's around us would see that we have a God who's capable and able and worthy of praise. God, be honored in this commitment time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we stand and as we sing, Pastor Jared and I will be here to receive if you need to just come for prayer. Maybe it is that right where you are that you need to acknowledge. Maybe your attitude's not what it needs to be and you need to ask God for help and aid. You respond as God has spoken to your heart this morning.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.